was a mighty nation, blessed above all of creation. It was a rare and precious pearl, conceived in faith and liberty, home of the brave, land of the free. It was the envy of the world. But this shining city on a hill has turned from the Creator's will and let evil take control. Now the reckless men who lead them want to strip away their freedom and to steal their very soul. Now it's smoke and mirrors, switching bait, criticize and confiscate, and let the guilty walk away. In this once righteous, godly nation, in the halls of education, they forbid a child to pray. They say we need to spread the wealth. They pretend to guard the health of the feeble and the poor. While the hand they hold behind their back confuses and conceals the fact that the wolf is at the door. There's an unseen hand that pulls strings. It makes his little puppets dance to every song he sings. As the night folds in on a rising tide, look beyond the shadow of the curtain. Behold a pale horse ride.
Welcome back, Brett. Welcome back to Resurrect the Republic. Thank you for joining us. This is Eric, the Freedom Screamer. I'm joined by Tom in Utah. We're talking about a whole series of health-related things for the last couple of nights. Tonight's topic is particularly interesting. We were just talking about the combination of several grains and vegetables that when they're sprouted, when these grains or vegetables are sprouted, it releases just a bonanza of nutrition and energy and enzymatic activity that causes the human body to flourish and be quite healthy. And I was reading the ingredients of Ezekiel bread. And of course, it'll be found in the freezer. If you try to leave this in your cupboard, it's going to turn into mold in about 30 minutes. So you want to keep it in the freezer or the refrigerator. So it goes.
It's a living bread.
Yeah, that's a good downside. That's the only downside to no preservatives is you got to keep it in a cool, very cool environment, preferably frozen. And I noticed that a simple piece of bread with an egg or two on top of it is a fantastic meal if you don't mind the eggs. This bread in and of itself doesn't need any egg. They're saying right here, a complete protein is created that closely parallels the protein found in milk and eggs. In fact, the protein quality is so high that it is 84.3% as efficient as the highest recognized sources of protein. It's got all the 9 essential amino acids and a total of 18 that are in the bread, 18 amino acids, all the 9 essential aminos. So literally, there's all your protein that you need to live is in this one bread. And once again, the ingredients are, I'll read the scripture again. Take also unto thee wheat, barley, beans, lentils, millet, and spelt, and put them in one vessel and make bread of it. So there it is. Extremely healthy.
See how smart.
And it is scriptural that we can survive with a complete protein. Just look up Ezekiel 4.9. Tom, back to you.
Let me tell you the other piece of that puzzle. God is not stupid. I just got to keep repeating that. When he created Adam and Eve, they were in the Garden of Eden. They didn't have a gun or a knife. So what could they consume? They could only consume those things that couldn't run away from them, right?
Right.
So all of their nutritional needs were met by the garden and by that wonderful organ that the God put in their chest on your right side called the liver. Why do we call it the liver? Isn't that kind of a curious name for a gland?
Oh, and where are the first four letters?
It's the gland of life. And see, our friend was discussing the vitamin K2. Where was he talking about as a source? The goose's liver. Are you going to tell me that God did a better job on the goose's liver than he did on mine? Uh-huh. Am I not the supreme creation at his hand? So which animal has the ability to survive surely upon those things he told you to survive on in the Garden of Eden? Now, I know this is a little hard for people to stomach because for thousands of years we've been sold the lie of the destroyer. Not the savior, but the destroyer. Remember what he did to Adam and Eve? He convinced them to partake of something. In the Hebrew scriptures, it's not an apple, by the way. And I don't want to get into further discussion on that, but my microscope, my chemistry lab, all the equipment that I dealt with in pathology told me the human body is best suited for being an herbivore. By the way, you talk about protein requirements. Have you ever wanted to wrestle with a rhinoceros or an elephant? Those are both pure vegan animals, aren't they? How come they don't need to eat another animal to get their protein, and yet they are immense? Do you see any muscle? I'm looking for the right word. I really hate what they did to me. Yeah.
Yeah, no muscle deficiency on a rhinoceros, that's for sure.
Yeah. Just cross his path. You'll find out how much muscle and protein he is. The same thing with an elephant. They're a massive animal. What do elephants eat? Do they eat hamburgers? Or how about even the natural grown cow, which I used to produce? I produced organic milk in my past. Isn't that kind of an oxymoron? Here I am working in a lab. I was dealing with veterinary pathology as well as human pathology, as well as pediatric pathology. Yet I knew that my cows, if I fed them meat, I damaged them, and I could make them so they would die because of the bacterial load that they got from these other animals that they ate. But that animal my cows were born at about 50 pounds when they were at birth, and within 6 months they would be 500 pounds. That takes a lot of protein, doesn't it? How many hamburgers did I feed my calves? None.
Not many.
What did I feed them? I'll tell you, quite frankly, Ezekiel bread in a form. How about that? I gave them the grains. I gave them the grasses. And those grasses and grains were eaten raw. So they not fermented, but they sprouted in the gut of that calf. And out of that sprouted nutrient supply from the garden, I got a 500-pound calf, and after a while, it became a 2,000-pound animal. Not a single hamburger or egg or a bacon strip went into that animal, yet it was a massive animal within 18 months. So who is stupid here, God or man? I think we are. We've bought into the crap that Lucifer put upon us. He's the god of death, and it takes death to eat a meat, doesn't it? But it takes life to eat the way God asked you to eat. I know that's a little strong, and everybody's probably turning off right now. But I can tell you, there is no need for a vaccine if you do not eat animals. How's that for a relationship? What comes with the meat of that animal? The viruses and bacteria, they are the destroying angels, in my view, put in the animals. And by the way, why don't they kill the animals most of the time? Because the animals run at a perpetual fever. Did you know that you're the only 98.6-degree animal on the planet?
I have heard that.
The cow runs at 101 to 102. The dog runs at 102 to 103. And a little bit above. The cat the same. Chickens run at 107. Their body temperatures are high. Why? It's that method that God put in their systems to keep them protected from the bacteria that's in their body naturally. And that bacteria, as far as I'm concerned, is retribution put in place so that when we destroy their bodies, take their lives, and stuff their tissues into us, those organisms now come down to their favorite temperature of maturation, 98.6. there wasn't a single organism in my laboratory that I was culturing that would do well at 101 or 105 or 107. All of the organisms I cultured from the animals or the patients flourished at 98.6. Isn't that curious? Do you know any other animal on the planet that runs at 98.6, Eric? You have a dog.
Well,
you have two dogs, right?
I do.
What's their healthy temperature?
Well, I don't know exact. I imagine it's about what you said it was. It's a little over 100, 100 to 102. I mean, I like to see them a little on the cool side, and they like to be that way as well. It's always better to, not cold, but they'd rather be a little.
Well, do you know what it indicates?
I know my long-haired dog was much happier when it's on the cool side. You know, he's real happy when it's in the 30s or 40s or 50s. They don't like it too hot. So, yeah, I can tell just by, you know, touching their belly. I often check them, you know, and see how they're doing. And they are quite a bit warmer than the human body. I did notice that.
Stick your finger in their ear. Or, you know, lift their tail, put your finger over their anus. Put your gloves on before you do that. But it'll be hot.
I think I'll pass on that one, but I touch them on the belly and it's quite warm.
Well, you know, in veterinary pathology, we use that as a good mark of their temperature.
I got you.
But every animal in the mammal and the bird kingdom are hotter than you are. The reptiles are colder, and that's how they're able to maintain their complement of bacteria and not die. But if you take a snake and you raise it up to 98.6, within 10 or 15 minutes, it's dead. You take the fish and raise them up to 98.6, within minutes, they're dead. Why? Because the plethora of bacteria and viruses that they've accumulated in the environment now become hyperactive because they're at the prime temperature of maturation. That's the temperature at which they flourish the most. So here's God in his wisdom. He puts the fish at 40 degrees or thereabouts. He puts the reptiles at about 60 degrees or thereabouts, 70 degrees, 80 degrees. They're okay at that. If they come up to 98.6 within minutes, the bacteria that's been asleep in their bodies becomes active and it kills them. Or if your cow or your dog or your chicken comes down to 98.6, it's not very long before they pass away because the animals have in the environment the opportunity to come in contact and host the viruses and bacteria that you generally don't have to put up with unless you cross that line and wrap your lips around their tissue. See, I'm going to tell you, I told you to refer to my paper that I wrote for a homeschooling group over here in Utah. This dear lady that runs a homeschooling organization, she asked me to write a paper on vaccines. And the title of my paper, and you can Google it if you want, or go to Bing or whatever to get into it. Write in there, vaccines, comma, a price for flesh. And that's where I discussed this issue that we were discussing yesterday, where vaccines, they are primarily given to you to protect you from the bacteria that come to you from the animals. There is no bacteria that can harm you from the plant kingdom, in spite of what you've been told. There is no virus or bacteria that can cause disease in you from any spinach or lettuce or bean sprouts. The media lies to you. In fact, I've had to testify in three courts and turn over cases up in Waterton, Canada, up in Olympia, Washington, and down in San Diego. I don't know if you remember the stories. There was supposed to have been a baby died of E. coli up in Waterton, Canada. The same thing up in Olympia, Washington, and then again in San Diego. They were blaming E. coli presented in apple cider. Well, here's the problem with apple cider. Apple cider is too acidic for bacteria. Bacteria are so vulnerable to three terrible environmental pressures. Number one, air. Number two, sunlight. Number three, acidic or basic environment. The perfect pH for the bacteria is the pH of your body and the pH of the chicken, the cow, and the pig, and the fish. The pH of the plant is 2 acid or alkaline. The pH of citrus fruits is 2 acidic. So virus and bacteria cannot survive in them, and they must be protected by the perfect shielding of cholesterol. Cholesterol is that fatty material that protects the bacteria and the viruses and you inside your body from cosmic energy, from the alpha, beta, gamma, x-ray particles and energy coming from the sun. So if I take you out into the desert, I'll use you as an example. If I take you out in the desert, strip you naked, tie you down to a couple of stakes like the, you know, that torturous death of being tied down in the desert, how long will you survive if I leave you there exposed to the sun naked? Maybe 2 or 3 days at best?
Hopefully not too long. I am hopefully not too long, yeah.
The pathogens that injure you are animal, bacteria, and viruses. They are like you being tied naked in the desert. But for pathogens that are tiny, their exposure limits are between 4 seconds for viruses and maybe 12 minutes for the most robust of bacteria.
Right.
So unless a bacteria or a virus is shielded inside an animal or inside animal fat, it cannot survive. As I said the other day, you can't get an infectious organism unless you're sitting right on the toilet seat with the infected patient, touching the doorknob with the infected patient or an infected animal. Mm-hmm. Or licking the sidewalk after somebody's just bled on it.
Right. It doesn't last very long out in the open-air environment. I've heard that, yep.
See, if it did, if that were true, that the bacteria and viruses persisted in the environment, in the sunshine...
Oh, we'd all be dead. Yeah.
We'd all be dead.
Yep.
One generation away from Adam and Eve, we would have been done. See, we buy into the BS, and it's pathetic. It's pathetic.
Okay, we got a caller. Hey, I'm gonna let's get one of our callers in because that always stimulates. So if everybody's polite, nice. Who do we take in first? Do you want to bring in Chris for any comments, and then who else do we have? Mike, I didn't catch a name there. Let's take Matt in Fort Worth, and Chris, if you want to hang tight, we'll try to get you in before the break for some comments on what Tom was talking about. How is our friend in Fort Worth tonight?
Hi, Pat.
Pat, how are you?
Fine. I had this conversation with one of my friends yesterday because her pastor's wife said you should not be eating pork. And, well, it's two things I had questions about in the Bible, and she did too. And when God saw that they had eaten the forbidden fruit and they were covered themselves with leaves, right, he killed an animal and made them a fur clothes. And so for all the people who say you should never wear fur, I said, well, God did it first. And the second was time when Peter saw the blanket come down with the sheet, come down with the animals on it, and God said, kill and eat. And he said, but I've never eaten any unclean thing. And he said, how dare you call unclean what I have called clean? And so we have questions on those scriptures.
Go ahead, John.
I've had to wrestle with that myself because since I come from a very religious family and a very religious background myself, and the one thing I never want to do is offend my Creator. So when I've gone head to head with the scripture on my own, I say, okay, tell me what's behind this. What was the purpose of that dream in the first place? Remember, they were having a challenge among the apostles at that time about sharing the gospel with the Gentiles.
Right.
So I think this is the most perfect way to get an idiot like me a message serving two purposes, mainly to tell me that I should not deny the truth to anyone, including the gospel of Jesus Christ. But as I read that scripture over and over and over again, I said, wait a minute, this is so perfect. Look how wise Heavenly Father is. He gives Peter and the brethren a message, but he also gives you a message. And what I see in there, this is, of course, my take. I'm not going to press my opinion on you, but I'll share it with you. Peter says to the angel, or to the Lord, wait a minute, I have not partaken of these unclean animals. And he says, I've not partaken of either the clean or unclean. Did you notice that? Peter originally was a fisherman.
Yeah.
He was originally a fisherman. What happened between him being a fisherman and that experience or that dream? He was called by Christ to become a fisher of men.
Right.
So if I read that right, something happened in Peter's life to change him. And now he's saying, nay, I have not partaken of anything clean or unclean. Well, the clean everybody else was doing, you know, like the sheep and like the cows and like the poultry. So I read that and I say, oh, wow, what a cool way to get a message through when I'm ready. So now I look at it, and of course it has to match my science. I hate to say this. I'm stuck with that microscope. The microscope doesn't lie, and I believe that God does not lie. All of my knowledge in pathology tells me animals are the source of diseases for man. There are no diseases coming from the plant kingdom or from the garden. And now Peter, being converted by Christ, is telling me in his code, so to speak, I do not partake of the clean or unclean. That's my read. Now, everybody can read it the way they want. But I'm comfortable with that. And I don't see any problem with not harming an animal. Why would I harm an animal if I don't need to? And like I was trying to explain to this gentleman with the goose liver, I studied the liver, my liver, the liver of the human being. And when you don't corrupt it with garbage and toxins, it performs all of the miraculous chemistry that is required for your body, as long as you give it the pure, undefiled nutrients or the base materials. It creates a plethora of vitamins and chemicals for your body. That's why we call it the liver, the gland of life. So do you think God requires you to kill an animal to supply everything your body needs? In my science, I can tell you absolutely not. And the nice thing, when you don't kill an animal, you don't have to deal with the viruses and bacteria. That's a winner, both ways.
Oh, one more. I've heard that strict vegetarians who won't eat milk products or eggs, they end up short on B vitamins. So how do they get those B vitamins, like B like a boy?
Well, where do the animals get them? That's my question. Where does the animal get them? How come an animal can have the benefit of these B vitamins and I don't? And the answer is, when you don't corrupt your own liver, that liver is so miraculously efficient, it produces everything you need based upon those essential fatty acids and essential amino acids, whatever you call it. And all of those essential amino acids and fatty acids come from the plant kingdom. And when you take them from the plant kingdom, you don't have to deal with cholera. You don't have to deal with Lyme's disease from the chickens. Hello? Lyme's disease is a chicken disease.
Really? Wow.
Yes. That's what we use in the environment where we think Lyme is present. We go out, we put birds in cages, and when they show up with Lyme's, how did they end up with the Lyme's disease? They had interaction with the wild birds. That's what I was telling Dr. Bill this earlier today. They were talking about the flight routes, and they'd missed the critical routes running between Asia and America and Asia, or America and Europe. There's two flight lines that they had missed, and that's the Aleutian Islands pathway that brings diseases through the birds from Asia to America, and then the flight line across the North Atlantic covering Iceland, Greenland, you know, Nova Scotia on one end, and of course Ireland and Scotland on the other. So the birds fly north and south, and they also fly east and west. What's really curious, they all converge, at least individual members representing any part of the world, because of those flight paths, they all converge at the juncture of the Ohio, the Mississippi, and the Missouri. Where's that? The heart of America. Where did the Spanish flu begin? In the heart of America. Why? Because the birds brought their viruses, they came together. They created new forms or strains. They created that virulent strain of flu right there in Jackson County, Missouri. How about that one? And that was where that flu, that very first case of flu showed up. And there had been a large die-off of the... Yeah.
Oh, it says in the last days they'll forbid to eat meat, but that's easy to figure out. There's so much contamination of the meat in the last days. Could that be what that means?
Well, what's really interesting, when you go back to the original Greek, the original text does not have that word commanding to abstain. It says, it actually says, whoever forbids you to abstain. So if you want to avoid the contaminations of the meat, anybody who forbids you to abstain, in other words, they're saying basically, you better eat this meat or else, they're injuring you. I know I hate to tell you this. If you notice in your Bible, if you got a King James, the word commanding is in italics. If you read the dictionary in that Bible, it will tell you words in italics were added by the Oxford scholars. That was not in the original Greek text.
So like if
I tell you, I had to wrestle with that one.
Uh-huh. And the Muslims take over and they forbid you to eat pork. Does the word forbid have another meaning? Or how did it you say that way?
Hey, go ahead.
Well, see, understand, if you read the original writings of Paul, it says, whoever forbids you to abstain. So what is he telling you? He's telling you anybody who takes your right to freedom of choice away, that's the real crime. But you can choose to eat pork or you can choose not to eat pork. That's your choice. But what Paul is saying, whoever forbids you to abstain, if you choose not to eat pork or cow or chicken or fish, no one has the right to do that according to God's law.
Hold that. Caller, stay with us there, caller. Caller, hang on through the break. We'll continue with you right after this commercial break. So stay with us, folks. This is Eric the Freedom Screamer with Tom and Pat and all of you out there. We appreciate you joining us on Resurrected Republic. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
homeowners. Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite, a seven-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
End time is not what you thought. In their new book, 122436, authors Mike and Cheryl Gilmore bring forth a startling new idea on the beginning of humankind, how life begins on Earth, and when our Creator concludes this age. In the book, 122436, three small groups of individuals, separated by thousands of miles, discover together the answers to the beginning of our universe and all the life it contains. Mike Gilmore is the author of 5 Levels of Power novels and the Sled Investigation series. Cheryl Gilmore is current state director in South Carolina for MUFON and brings a lifetime of experience with UFOs and related fields. As a team, their new book about life in the near future on Earth sets aside most people's religious and scientific beliefs. Available exclusively on Amazon in softback for $8.99 or the ebook price for only $2.99. Remember, Amazon softback $8.99, ebook only $2.99. 122436. Get your copy today.
Welcome back to Resurrect the Republic. This is Eric, the Freedom Screamer. We've got Tom in Utah joining us tonight with a bevy of information. Chris, thanks for hanging in there with us. We also got full lines, so we're obviously striking a nerve tonight.
I knew that.
I wanted to real quick backtrack and just because Pat, who's still with us, hopefully asked, where are you going to get your vitamin B, you know, nutrients from if you're not eating meat? So I just opened up my American Heritage Dictionary and started looking. So I'm going to run through a couple right now. The pantothenic acid, which is part of the B complex, is common in liver, but it's found in all living tissue. Let me jump over to, what is...
Would that include your own?
Well, yeah, and of course plants as well.
Hello.
I would think. Here's folic acid. Folic acid, a member of the vitamin B complex occurring in green plants, fresh fruit, liver, and yeast, and used medicinally to treat pernicious anemias. Let me give you a couple more here just so you know that's not the exception. That's the rule. Where is this? This will be riboflavin. Where is the riboflavin? Hang on 1 second. The riboflavin, a crystalline yellow-orange pigmented principal growth-promoting factor in the B complex found in milk, leafy vegetables, as well as fresh meat and eggs, and produced synthetically. Okay, so there's leafy vegetables. So we got all living tissue. We got green plants. This one will be thiamine. Thiamine. Here we go. Thiamine is part of the B complex as well, and it occurs naturally in the bran coat of grains. That means in the bran.
There you go.
And in meat, and is necessary for carbohydrate metabolism, maintenance of normal neutral activity, and prevention of beriberi. Okay, so there it is. It's all. You can do it. And I've done it. So I could. And I love meat. And I still eat. I'm eating some a little bit of meat, you know, here and there now. Not a lot, but you know, once again, after I got that long period of time where I didn't eat any meat, and it wasn't really by design. It was just kind of my diet drifted that way. I felt satisfied without it. I probably ran out for a couple of days and said, "Huh, I don't need to get any more." And all of a sudden, a couple of years went by, and I said, "Geez, I haven't had any meat or any fish, no tuna." You know, I've been eating eggs. Okay, I think I you know, might have killed the deal with the eggs, but still wasn't meat. You know, I know it's got animal protein, but it was very few on the eggs, and I kind of liked a little bit of the good cholesterol from the eggs isn't too bad. But good clean eggs can help. I know that's not quite 100% vegan there, Tom, but, you know, once again, we can all do our own thing and still get along well. Pat, any more comments before we go to our next caller?
Well, let me tell you, it was a last day scripture. Last days they'll forbid to eat meat, but I don't have my concordance here. I just lost it. So I don't know where it is. It's my fault.
Well, I'll tell you what, that'll give you an excuse to call us back in sometime when you have that.
Well, maybe on the last day is such Jesus. Go ahead.
Before you go, though, let me tell you this.
Okay.
See if you can locate a copy of Josephus's history. Josephus was a historian that was living in the time near Christ, and he has some wonderful records that help expose this issue. See, and then, of course, get the Greek-English New Testament. You should be able to go to a college or university, particularly in their religious section, find those two large documents, collections. Josephus, sorry, I can't remember the full title. But look up Josephus and read about his story about Daniel, Shadrach, and Meshach, and Abednego, and then, of course, about Christ. He has a really curious comment about Christ, about the people around him, the Christians, that they were healthier, more beautiful, da-da-da-da, and they were often killed because they refused to eat meat. How about that one?
All of the King's Dainties, he said. Okay, I'll let you go. Thank you very much. God bless you.
Thank you, Pat. Fantastic call. Appreciate you joining us and call in anytime. Chris, do you want to join us? I want to anything to add to the discussion. Chris, sorry to make you wait, but Tom, I wanted to get Tom's interview kind of well underway. Add anything that you'd like to on this conversation, Chris.
Well, you know, I have to really thank Tom. He has earned his stripes, has given so much for bringing the truth to the people. He certainly has a important point to share with the people. His Gaslighting America, the other sites that he has, his knowledge of a pathology, his knowledge of health, the cause of actual sicknesses and diseases, is just inestimable. However, the reason I was calling tonight was not so much for that, but I had been to sit through some hours of the Bundy case here in Nevada on Wednesday.
Oh, excellent. I was hoping we could get to, oh, thank you, God. Thank you, Chris. I was hoping we could get to a trial update, because I know our listeners really want an update on the trial.
Yes.
So take all the time you need. We got at least 20 minutes left in the show. Take whatever you need.
Well, the unfortunate circumstances, what most people don't grasp, everything you say, do, text, write, read, or otherwise put on the post on the internet becomes into the public domain, public space, and you're basically testifying against yourself whether you know it or not. And it will be used against you in a court of law, as it's become obvious. because they had two FBI agents that were on the stand testifying. One of them was strictly monitoring the traffic back and forth, having to do with everything, the emails back and forth, the reportings in of the agents in the field, and data mining, that sort of stuff, mining the data out of it for anything that would be incriminating or perhaps insinuating any type of upcoming events. The other agent was even more interesting. She was a media specialist from Quantico, from Virginia, and the FBI Academy out in that direction, D.C. But she was here in Nevada for a stint also. And she was assimilating using a program to basically record and take down and monitor every newscast of multiple different hundreds, she said she would search daily, data mining them. In fact, there's a couple of different concepts they have called Internet Searchable Data. There are programs that do this automatically for you. And she was looking for a particular language or people that were carrying protection devices, although she always called them weapons. It's important to know that a weapon, according to, pardon me, the Code of Federal Regulations definition, is a full automatic pistol, rifle, or shotgun, or a rifle or shotgun cut down below 18 and a quarter inches, specifically and exclusively. And the other devices might be sporting equipment. They could be hunting equipment. They could be self-protection equipment, but they don't fall in the definition of weapons. But they like to use that all the time in a broad general fashion to try to use those incendiary and inflammatory words they can to color the so-called patriots and those that would be defenders of the West and the lands and ownership here and freedom in the worst possible light. That's what they do. That's what their profession is. And the other concept that they have that they use in the gathering of information is called technical review, but it's actually they preview it rather than review it. In fact, whenever you put a case into the federal court systems, they scan it into the system so they can data mine it and search it for particular word terms or phraseologies that don't comport with what they teach attorneys. That way, if they find a pro se that's smart out there that actually can cite laws, facts, and evidence that's relevant, that is outside the scope of what attorneys' codes, statutes, and policies and procedures allow them to do, then they can quickly identify them and have them excluded under 12b-6 to dismissal or complaint. That's failure to state a claim for which relief can be granted. Basically claiming them through frivolous nonsense or pro se ramblings, as they like to call them, when in fact they might be very cogent and articulate remarks and well penned. What? Okay, sorry, I thought somebody said something. So whenever this woman was doing her duty for the FBI of monitoring all these videos, newscasts and stuff, they had numbers of them on Channel 8, Channel 5, Channel 3 here, 13 here in Las Vegas area particularly, along with national news clips from InfoWars, from Fox Channel, and from other CNN and things of that nature, and meetings with Santilli and the government agents, the BLM agents, they had plenty of the cowboys and so on and so forth, all these different things, and they all want to call what the patriots have to be weapons or so on and so forth and try to insinuate that they had them there for an aggressive purpose when you can use any type of tool for either aggression or for defense or for other purposes. Like they're intended for, whether, you know, maybe you'll use a scythe for clipping long weeds in your yard, but you might use it for a combat weapon if you didn't have anything else. And the use of the implement dictates the nature of it, whether it's being used in an aggressive or defensive manner. And this becomes a delineator as to what the purpose of having something and how it was being used also has influence on what the definition of what its purpose was. The other thing that's really, I hate to report this to you, but it's very obvious that the criminals here running this town, the Clark County Board of Commissioners, the district attorney's office that works for them, the judges that work for them, their agents that are licensed so-called as psychiatrists and psychoanalysts, mental health so-called professionals, have deemed me to be a dangerous individual and trying to claim that I am mentally incompetent because I know the law, because I'm able to prevent my own defense, and because I can tear apart the whole lies and stuff that the law enforcement puts out there, and they want to put me in an institution and chemically lobotomize me to take me out of action to shut me down from revealing the truth. And this flies in the face of a case called City of Houston, Texas versus Hill. Whenever police are being held to accountability, they have a duty, because they're supposed to be public servants, even though they're really private foreign corporate mercenaries, masked as public servants, to expect a certain amount of abuse. And beyond, in fighting words or perhaps hollowing fire in a theater, they are expected to undergo that as part of their profession, because that's part of their job they're getting paid to put up with, is the public's disagreement when they're abusing people, and they make insinuations about their lack of professionalism, their abusive nature, or maybe calling them Nazis or other types of disparaging terms, but that hurt their feelings.
Who threatened you? I know, I gotta jump in here, because I gotta confirm, this is the third time I've heard this, and now I'm really pissed. There's a, and we know this is not anything new, and it doesn't really surprise us, but I see it being applied to people who I know, like, immediately, like Chris. The third time, and actually the three people are very quite close to me. Chris is one. There's another guy in Nevada who's phenomenal with the Courtroom Observers. He's got multiple people out of jail in multiple states just with a couple of phone calls. And then a woman in California. All of them brilliant, including Chris. All of them constitutionalists, common law scholars, level-headed, not doing anything violent. And the court, the witch's court, or the in one case it was the public. I don't know. I want to know who's threatening you, Chris. But in these other cases, one was the district attorney, and one was, I think, the public pretender, the public defender.
I have both of those in mind.
Okay. Yes. And what they do is they submit a motion to the court for a mental hold. They can hold you for 3 days without this for that if they want to, just because maybe you're a. So they make
for observation
dangerous, and I want to repeat what Chris just said. They're threatening to put. You've heard Chris on this show, people. This is wake up for a second here, because I know we got lulled into some excellent conversation and information. But Chris is being threatened with institutionalization.
I'm being terrorized.
but I want people to know exactly, specifically, what they're threatening with They're threatening to put Chris in a mental institution, because he talks about the common law and he stands on his unalienable rights like the rest of us do. So I want people to be aware of Chris's case. And we're not going to let him get away with it. If we've got to put 1,000 phone calls on him, protest live people there, make it very uncomfortable for the players involved. I like Tom's idea. Go into the neighborhoods where they live, pass out flyers to every one of their neighbors in those high-end neighborhoods where the judges and DAs live, and let all their neighbors know what's going on. Be coherent and make a good production in paper, and get it in everybody's mailbox that lives around it. And believe me, the stir with their neighbors or at the country club will really make them start pushing them when they get heat or even just eyebrows raised at the country club. They don't like that. So hit them in their own neighborhood, so to speak, with information and observation and leaflets and flyers or whatever you can do. So, Chris, we're going to make sure that we follow your case closely, because yeah. I've heard you're not the first person who's told me this very recently. This is one of their. This is the Soviet Union.
It's a tactic.
Alexander.
This is legal terrorism, Eric. It's legal terrorism of a senior citizen.
Of course it is. They're doing it to Tom. You. They've done it to me. They're doing it to all the patriots. read Alexander Solzhenitsyn's book, The Gulag Archipelago, and he talks about how this is what they do. They label. They find people who stand on rights and stand on anti-corruption and stand on the truth, like we all do here, or at least we try to. And of course, they label all of us mentally ill. Sorry, Charlie. We know the people who are sick in the head are the leeches and parasites and sharks and wolves that work in the incorporated governments that's infesting our nation,
our country from coast to coast.
It's insane. Go ahead.
I'm sure Tom knows this, too. That DSM-5, the Diagnostic Symptoms Manual of the so-called psychiatrist and psychologist, which really does not rise to the level of evidentiary value, according to a case called Mo Tower Company versus Carmichael, because it's subjective interpretive and it's not any standard. You can't get two psychiatrists to agree on the same diagnosis. It doesn't rise to evidence under Rule 702.
That's right. And Chris, did you see what they've people go look up that DSM. Look what's in there. If you drink too much coffee, you have
vague, ambiguous, arbitrary, capricious, and
advantageous. Yeah, they're saying if you like to, discuss political topics, you have a. If you don't like,
You need psychotropic drugs.
Wait till you see the stuff that's in the new updated DSM. It makes everybody in this country mentally ill.
Well, it was written by attorneys or word twisting people from the cabal.
Oh, get me going on the cabal bar member attorney.
Well, let me get off and let Tom finish up, because his you and I need to do a show some night, and I will line out this whole case for you so the people understand the abject criminality that's going on here in Las Vegas, Nevada, through the Board of Commissioners, their district attorneys that work for them, the sheriff that works for them, the zoning officials, the administrators that work for them. It's one big collective global mafia or gangster mafia in the town that's taken over this town again. The mob is ruling in Las Vegas. The mob museum, they're sitting in the county commissioner's office. So thank you very, very much.
You're welcome, Chris. Stay with
us. Would you do me a favor?
Go ahead.
Sure. Do me a favor. I have a couple of friends there. Shauna Cox, I'm sure you know who she is.
I know Shauna,
And Wayne Hill may be there. If you can get with, make contact with them and tell them to get in touch with me, if they would. Wayne Hill happens to be the director of the Utah Independent Party. And I know he was going down to Las Vegas last week or so, and so I'm just hoping he's down there in the middle of the fray.
I'll have Chris, I'll give Chris your number, Tom, so he can give you a call, if that's okay.
I think I've got his number written down back a few pages, but if I get it more handy, that would be better, like in an email or a text or something.
Yeah, I'll get it to you tonight, Chris, or Mike on the board has it as well, so he can always give it to you. So we'll make sure we all follow each other's case, because these are epic times here. This is where the real battle is, right here on Resurrect the Republic, folks. You're hearing it tonight. These are real patriots with real knowledge. Doing courtroom serving, Tom is doing his activism. Go ahead, Chris.
You're seeing the Bolshevik revolution here in America. It is at hand. People better wake up, because it's going to take over this country soon, and we'll all be dead or be licking the boots of Satan before it's all over.
It sounds, I know, and to some people that sounds, and I would have thought that those were extreme words in my younger days, maybe way younger. I woke up kind of pretty much on the early side. I've always known that there was some serious corruption and evil at the highest levels of this what was going on, the cabal, so to speak. But, Chris, we're going to follow your case and make sure that they don't get away with this Sovietization, labeling patriots mentally ill. And if I hadn't been in this doing courtroom observing in a serious way, I would have thought you were maybe a little bit exaggerating, but folks, this is it's worse than we can even paint the picture here over the radio. So this is patriot persecution time. It doesn't. I mean, either this administration is part of it, or they're impotent, meaning they can't stop it. So I don't know which it is right now.
Time. Let's get Tom finish up. I'll get off. Talk to you later. Bye bye.
Okay, Chris. Yeah, and so anyway, I want to see some more action from this administration and ceasing and desisting. I mean, put the word out. There has to be. They make up all kinds of other stuff in the witch's court and legislative arbitrarily and arbitrary and capricious dictates and judicial procedure orders. Make up something to do some good. They have no problem just making stuff up that's all kinds of bad for our freedom. How about make up something good? Now, go ahead. Just issue an executive order. Stop the persecution of the patriots. They can do it for everything else that kills us. Why can't they do it for something that frees people like Tom? And I really was disturbed to hear that they're claiming the prosecutor in Tom's case, even though he's a federal prosecutor, is somehow can't be fired or replaced because he was hired by people at the state level and blah, 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 blah. Absurd garbage that they're feeding us to try to keep people like Tom and these patriot cases going. Or the best case scenario is, they at least maybe they're trying and can't stop it. I don't believe that for a minute. I believe the same players that were there before are here now with just different faces and different haircuts. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, this breaks my heart to hear that, because I've had to be an expert in cases where they claim that the person was psychiatrically disturbed, and that's how they get them out of the courtroom. I have a very dear friend that was removed from a case because he was too effective. So the judge ordered a psych eval on him. He was taken into mental health. They nearly killed him with Prozac. He was diabetic. They refused or resisted giving his diabetic, you know, the Humulin and that stuff. But then instead they give him Risperidone, which exacerbates diabetes.
Yep.
They knew that if they could simply get him into a psychiatric unit, they'd get him out of the courtroom, and they would prevail. Are we still here?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I'm listening very carefully. It's very sad, and it's really the bottom of the barrel for this republic right now. I mean, it's gone. I mean, when you get right out there, I know people who haven't had, you know, who've been fortunate enough not to have, you know, the interactions or the persecutions by the system. They're keying in on patriots, the people like Tom. He wasn't zeroed in for that obscure, minor, stupid bullcrap charge, you know, for no reason. He was singled out because he's a truth teller. You know, he's a reporter that shows up on scene. He gave a voice to all the players in that whenever there were trials. You know, he was there. He was the man on the scene and did a great job and isn't afraid to go. Tom was going places that nobody else would go. You know, it's kind of like, you know, the Vicar thing. Nobody else really has the guts to talk about that. So, people, I hope you at least appreciate what you got going on here tonight. And, you know, we appreciate your support. We have Tom in Utah. We have Chris in Las Vegas. We're going to be following all these cases here. Like I said, I've got multiple reports coming in of all different parts of the country. The courts, especially out west right now, the courts are threatening to lock people up in mental institutions strictly for talking about freedom and the freedom-related things like common law, constitutional restrictions on out-of-control government. What are the ramifications of an incorporated government? Society cannot be a victim. It's a fictitious entity. Hello, who's the liar here? We're trying to tell the truth, man. This is silicate. No victim, no crime. Society is not real. This is not a democracy, it's a republic. We only supposed to have peace officers in this country, not law enforcement. That's for military units. I can't stress enough. There's no red states and blue states. Anybody still playing that game is just either, you know, they just either don't know, and we need to talk with them nicely, or they're working for the enemy. Because historically, now, red has been the color of blood when it's spilled out of the body, the color of communism, the color of death, the color of agitation, has many negative kind of, and if historically the blue is the color of freedom. That's what this, because the color of the sky, it's the color of the ocean, if it's clean. It's with the color the Scots painted their faces before they did war. And blue is traditionally the color of freedom, and now they've flipped it. They say the blue states are what, the Democrats, and the red states are Republicans? That just flipped everything upside down. So don't give the enemy the language, people. We appreciate you being with us on Resurrect the Republic. We're going to do one more show with Tom Monday if he wants to stay with us. Chris, you're welcome to join us as well. We want to keep your voice out there, so if they start screwing around with you, we can definitely come to your support with at least a phone blitz and some emails and complaints about the out-of-control, which is court, and their Nazi enforcement henchmen. So thank you for joining us. This is Eric, the Freedom Screamer. Once again, this is Resurrect the Republic, not Resurrect the Democracy. And if you enjoy what you heard tonight and you value the information you got, please go to courtroomwatch.com. You'll see my funding page. Please donate whatever you can. I sure could sure use the help. It keeps this broadcast going. Keeps my presence going. I can do research and bring you good information like we got tonight from Tom. Thank you, Tom. Thank you, Chris. Once again, that's courtroomwatch.com. This is Eric the Freedom Screamer. Stay with us on Resurrect the Republic, because it's not Resurrect the Democracy. It is Resurrect the Republic on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll see you on Monday. Hang in there, people, and thanks for joining us. Have a good night.
listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.